Let us pray. O God, you have given us the example of the saints. Help us to strive to be one too. Amen. Today's lesson from the Gospel, often famously depicted as the Sermon on the Mount in Luke, happens on the plain, so I thought I'd get in the feeling today and not be up on the mount, be down here with everyone else. And this being the first week in November, I am going to talk to you about the thing you most wish your minister would talk about on the first week of November, the thing that has been on everyone's mind. The Chicago Cubs won the World Series. Now, I know there are maybe some of you not Cubs fans here, and I won't pretend to have been a diehard, lifelong Cubs fan, but we know that for just a brief moment this week, our minds, our eyes, our hearts turned away from the travesty and burning dumpster fire that is the election and turned towards something joyful and life-giving and happy. Because even Cleveland fans could admit that a Cinderella story like the Cubs win is something to rejoice in. But here's the thing, and you may be a Cubs fan or you may have a Cubs fan in your family or in your friend circle. Cubs fans, and probably the whole enterprise of the Cubs, the whole institution, have long defined themselves as the lovable losers. Right? The story is that they have suffered long, lo, over a century, looking for a win. And now they have it. And they must tell their story differently. You see, whether or not it's true, the way we tell our stories shapes us and defines us. It makes us into who we are. And our national identity is somewhat true in the same way. We tend, too, to tell stories of winners and losers in our culture today. If you don't believe it, just look again at that election that is about to happen blessedly on Tuesday. The rancor, the disgusting things that have been spoken from a national podium, the hatred, the lies, the corruption, the racism, bigotry, and all of it that has been lifted up as normal in our life as a people, we've taken it now to heart. We've accepted it, and it has begun to define us. No matter what side of the political aisle you sit on, the way we've told our story this election cycle is not a good one. It is apparent that, unlike the Chicago Cubs, who could cultivate habits of life around yearning for a win, striving hard, working hard, making sacrifices, that the habits we've cultivated in our political life and in our community as a whole, as a nation, have not shaped us into the people we need to be, nor has it shaped the leaders that we need to have. That's why I hope we come to church on days like today, because we need a story and a narrative that will shape us into people that are different than we see in the world around us. We need hopeful people. The Sermon on the Plain that we heard today, it's a little different than Matthew's version of it that we so typically hear, where he says, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness." Now, today's story is, "Blessed are the poor." Full stop. "Blessed are the hungry." Full stop. "Blessed are those who our wider political discourse would define as losers. Those whom the world has passed by and left behind and trampled underfoot. Blessed are those who have not won this game of life, who have struggled and given and lost more times than they care to count." You see, we tell that story because we believe that as a community, if we tell that story over and over again, that it shapes us into people who are capable of actually doing the things in the story. We need habits as a people. Habits of life that will shape us into the kind of people who can be the source of food for the hungry, fill them with good things. We need habits of life to train us into the people who can, in fact, give so the poor struggle not anymore. We need the habits of life to make us into people of peacemaking and reconciliation and so much more when the world seems incapable of doing it. And that might mean we need to change some of our bad habits. For me, it means like next election cycle, because it's too late this one, I can't just habitually check 538.com, hoping it will put my nerves at ease. Maybe instead I should turn that time into prayer, fasting, almsgiving, acts of service. Not once, but habitually, over and over and over again, until it becomes imprinted on me that this is who I am. We need habits. The church gives us the saints. Today we look at the lives of the saints, not in one particular story or two, but the whole of the saints. All of them. Those people whose lives showed us what holiness and generosity and abundance and life-giving can look like. We go to the 30,000-foot level and we see the story of the saints and we see people whose lives were cultivated and shaped by habits of generosity and hope and Christlikeness. And we aim to do that and be that too. Today we initiate another one of us into that life of striving to be a saint. Sydney is here today to be brought into the body of Christ because we already know she's blessed and beloved of God. But her parents and her family and her loved ones are here today bringing her into this community saying, these habits, this story will shape her into the person we hope for her to be. Generous, kind, abundant in life. Think of the places where you have seen those habits practiced. When we were in Kaoro just a little over a year and a half ago, feels like yesterday, our group went and worshipped on a Sunday morning with the local Anglican church that's just off the corner of our clinic, maybe two blocks in if we were in a city. And we worshipped with them, people whose lives were so different from our own, but whose habits of life are supposed to be the same as ours. And as is always the case, I think it may have been written in the Gospels that kind of got edited out, where two or three are gathered in his name, a plate will be passed. One of the habits of our life as a faith community is not to take lightly the act of giving, symbolically but also generously. And so at the middle of the service, the plate was passed, or the metaphorical basket. And in a community that is over 90% under the poverty line, you can imagine that looks different than it does here. And yet it's the same habit. There wasn't a lot of money to give. And yet the lack of the community there, the absence of money, did not cause them to be stingy or to hoard or to not give. In fact, people gave abundantly. At the time of the offering, families brought bags of grain and fruits and harvest and eggs down to the altar and laid them there. And then the lay reader, who was there for that day running the service, stood up and said, can I get a five, anybody a five, five, anybody, one, five, five, ten, do I get a ten, do I get a ten, ten, 20, do I get a 20? And suddenly we were in the middle of an auction. Everything at the altar sold that day. For far more than it was ever worth. The people who had much gave much out of their pockets. The people who had little gave much out of what they had. And together, they made something generous and abundant. Habits, people, habits of life are what shape us into the people God calls us to be. The kind of people and community that the world needs us to be. The kind of people who can be saints. And you can be one too. Amen.